Exodus 33, verse number 17. God and Moses is in a conversation. And I want to show you about this. The Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Now, if you hadn't said amen all day, that'd be a good spot to do it in. Verse number 18 says, and he said, I beseech thee, Moses talking, he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I'll show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you already. God, I sure do thank you for showing up here this morning. God, we have a good number of people here this morning. God, I pray right now, Lord, that you'd help. God, I don't want to mess the service up. I want to do everything that you want me to do. And God, be able to edify the people. And God, I just pray that you'd help us now. And God, we'll thank you for what you're going to do. We're going to go ahead and thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people say it. Amen. Amen. Now, Moses is in a low place. Moses is in a low place and he's in a valley. And I'm going to be honest, going through a valley just means one thing, that you're a card-carrying member of the human race. Everybody goes through a valley. Now, what Moses is upset about, he's upset about the difficulty of the journey. Do you all know the journey gets difficult sometimes? And he was disappointed in his people. Now, you have to understand, Moses was pastoring about 2 million people. And he leaves to go up on the mountain and to get the Ten Commandments that God writes on. And he's got those two tablets and he's coming down. He comes down the mountain. He's been gone a while. He comes down. He has an associate pastor named Aaron. And Aaron has led the church, the 2 million people. He's done led them into a contemporary style worship service. And he done made a golden calf. He had everybody bring all of their jewelry. And he made a golden calf. And everybody was dancing in the church. Dancing around and taking their clothes off. Somebody say amen. I mean, stuff that you would see at the mall and Walmart and stuff like that was going on down at the house of God, which shouldn't be going on. And they were down there, and Moses comes down. His face turns blood red. He said, what in the world are y'all doing down here? And he takes those two tablets, and he destroys them. He destroyed, in essence, for lack of a better term, he destroyed a Bible. A Bible that God had written 10 things on, and Moses just got so mad. He threw them down. I mean, he was discouraged and disappointed in his people. You say, well, I just don't think Moses ought to have thrown them tablets down. If you would have had to pastor the people that Moses had to pastor, you would have broke them over their head. And Moses is he's disappointed in his people. There's no camp meeting going on. There ain't a Bible conference going on. Listen, you need to keep your eyes off of people and keep them on God. God's always going to do right. Moses was disgusted. He was disgusted in his faults and in his failures. But how many of you know, ladies and gentlemen, when Moses started to give up, God didn't give up on Moses. Sometimes we just need a fresh touch from heaven, a fresh touch from the glory world. We just need God to show Himself and touch our lives and see what Moses got to see. This is what Moses said. He said, God, I'm disgusted. I am depressed. I am disappointed in these people that You have given me. And he said this in verse number 18. He said, I beseech thee. Yeah, that means he said, I'm a begging you. I'm pleading with you, God. I'm beseeching you. God, I need something from you. He said, I've seen what everybody else can do. I need to see what you can do. He said, I'm not begging for money. I'm not begging for more wealth. I am begging for your glory. I just want to see you. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to come to that place. He said, I beseech you, show me your glory. I think the Bible says something like this, seek the Lord while He may be found. And verse 19, and God says, I'll make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before me, or before thee rather. He said, I'm going to be gracious. To whom I'm going to be gracious? All it means is Lord going to do what He wants to do, when He wants to do it, whenever He gets ready to do it, because He's God, and there besides Him, there is none else. He says, you can't see my face, Moses, for ain't nobody ever seen me and lived through it. Now look at verse 21. And the Lord said, behold. Get the picture now. Moses, I know you're disgusted. I know you're difficult in the journey. I know you're disgusted and just displeased and disappointed in all them people. But look here. You can't see. I cannot answer your request. I cannot let you see all of my glory. But what I can do, Moses, there is a place. There is a place, Moses, beside me. Hallelujah. Well, some of y'all ain't getting that. But he said, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon the rock. He said, behold. You know what that means in the Hebrew? That means something big's about to happen. Something real big's about to happen, and behold, there is a place by me. God said, Moses, you got a need? I got the solution. You got a prayer? I got the answer. But there is a place by me, Moses. I know you're disgusted. I know you're disappointed. I know you're going through a valley. But Moses, there is a place right beside me that I'm fixing to let you get a little in on. Amen. Number one, there is a place. I'm glad, ladies and gentlemen, there are places, special places that God has roped off in our lives. The special places, the special times, the special the presence of an Almighty God like we have experienced already here today. Those are few and far between, and sometimes we just need a place that we can go to. And that place is Jesus. He's the solid rock upon the foundation of that solid rock. There is a place, the songwriter said, there's a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. And there ain't no place like that place, so it must be the place that we need to get in on. The Bible says Abraham found that place at an altar. Jacob woke up one morning and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. Solomon heard from God and he says, mine eyes are going to look upon this place. And when you pray from this place, God says, I'm going to hear you from my place, and I'm going to come down to your place and make it my place. Hallelujah. Bible says when they came to the place called Calvary. That's a good place to go. When they came to the place called Calvary. The Bible says on resurrection morning, when they came to the place of the sepulcher. Aren't you glad that place is empty? It ain't no nobody there anymore. Hallelujah. He's risen just like He said. The Bible says when they prayed, the place was shaken. The Bible says he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, know where that's found? That's found in Psalm 91, verse 1. That's God's 911 number. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Abraham found that place at an altar. Jacob found that place at a well. The Hebrew boys found that place in the fiery furnace. And Daniel found that place in the lion's den. And John the Beloved found that place right next to the heart of God. And John found that place on the Isle of Patmos. And Mary found that place at the foot of Jesus. I found that place at an old-fashioned altar one day where I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ. There is a place. Paul found that place on the road to Damascus. Hallelujah. Woo! God says, you need something? Do you need something from me today? I've got a place. Thank God there's a place right beside the Lord. It's a sacred place. It's a strong place. It's a sheltering place. It's a satisfying place. It's a sweet place. And this is what I like. It's a sure enough place. I'm glad when the lightning flashes and the thunder rolls, God says, I got a place right beside me. Thank the Lord. Now watch this. Moses said, this place. God said, told Moses, this place. It's in the cleft of the rock. I don't know how many of y'all know about the cleft of the rock, but it's just a little hewn out place. And that particular place, it's just got a hole in the middle of the mountain, or the side of the mountain. And there's a place, just a hewed out place, just a hollowed out place. And he says, what I'm going to do, Moses, I'm going to pick you up. And I'm going to put you in that little cleft of the rock. And Moses jumped up like this. And he said, oh, he hit his head. He looked up. There's a rock up there. Moses would feel a little dizzy. He fell to the right. He fell upon a rock. He went to the left. He fell upon a rock. He said, well, I think I'll back up a little bit. He backed up on a rock. You can't go anywhere without backing up on Him. And go anywhere without Him being right there with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And Moses says, oh, but what if I fall out? There's a hole here. What if I fall out? God says, I got that covered too. He said, what I'm going to do? I'm going to put my hand over the hole. I'm going to put my hand over the hole. And that way, Moses, if you decide you just want to fall out, you'll fall out right into the hand of an almighty God. I think John 10 says something like this. It says, no man is able to pluck him out of my Father's hand. I'm telling you, once you get in the cleft of the rock, he's got the ground covered to the right. He's got the ground covered to the left. He's got it covered behind you, and he's got his hand in front of you. If you want to fall in, just fall into the hand of God. He'll help you. He loves you. There is a place by me. Hallelujah. Moses, you want me? You need me, Moses? Moses said, I sure do. I'm begging you. I plead with you. I sure do need you. God says, well, I can't give you everything you want, but I sure do know there is a place right beside me, and it's in the cleft of the rock. Hallelujah. And he said this. He said, Moses, this is what I'm going to do. I can't answer you. I can't answer all your prayer. He said, what I am going to do, I'm going to put you in that cleft, put my hand over it, and I'm going to walk by, and I'm going to move my hand. I'm going to let you just see just a... How many of y'all know what a smidgen is? In Tennessee, I said that down in Louisiana. I was down in Louisiana this week. And by the way, there are some saved people in Louisiana. I didn't know it, but there are. And three young boys got called to preach that week. Hallelujah. We're going to try to get them enrolled in the Bible Institute, taking it online. And hallelujah. There was people, I don't know who all got saved and what all. But thank the Lord, there's still a place by Him. There's still a place you can get into. It may be a prayer closet somewhere. It may be a hospital bed for some. It may be down at the funeral home, but there is a place that God can come in and meet with you. How many times we've been down at the funeral home and it's just like this. You've heard this before. Oh, I don't know how we made it through that. Oh, I don't know. It just felt like the hand of God wrapped around us. My friend, that was Him. Wrapping His arms around you in that particular time of need, because there is a place by Him. It's a divine place. It's a holy place. It's a special place. I'm thankful, ladies and gentlemen. I'm thankful. The one that camped around and dug around my perimeter. Hallelujah. Joshua met the captain of the Lord's host. He said, there is a place. There is a place that you can get into near to the heart of God. The songwriter said, though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. There is a place, ladies and gentlemen. If you've got a burden, He's got a place. If you've got a prayer, He's got a place. If you just need a special touch, He's got a place. Behold, there is a place by me, and it's in the cleft of the rock. Not only is there a place, but number two, there is a person. Notice what He said, the personal pronouns. God talking. He said, I will hide thee. I will put thee. I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. My goodness, my glory. I think the person is God Almighty. There is a place by Him, and His name is Lord God Jehovah, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He's never left us. He never will leave us. And once you get in Him, you're in, my friend, and it is good to be in. You say, how do you know it's good to be in? Well, it's a whole lot better to be in than it is out. If you don't believe that, ask Noah. Sometimes you just need to hear from something. You say, how big is He? He's bigger than the biggest. He's better than the best. He's everything that He claimed to be and a whole lot more. You say, how big is He? He's real big. He's so big, if He was in Dyersburg, Tennessee this morning, He'd stick out somewhere. He's big. He said this. Watch this. He said, Moses, here's something you need to get. He said, Moses, you want to see the glory, but you can't see the glory till you see my goodness. Everybody wants to see the glory. Sometimes we just need to pause when we hadn't seen the glory in a while and just think on how good He is. My goodness, I'm going to let my goodness pass by you. Moses has seen the worst in Israel. He's seen the worst in his family. He's seen the worst in himself. And he said, God, I just need this. I've seen bad. I've seen bad at work. I've seen bad on the job site. I've seen bad down at the church. I've seen bad on every situation. I see bad on the television. God, I just need to see some goodness. You say, preacher, how good is it? You're still saved, ain't you? Brother Jason, he said, how good is it? You're still washed in the blood, ain't you? You say, how good is it? You're on your way to heaven, ain't you? How good is it, preacher? You woke up this morning, didn't you? Who kept you breathing all night long when you didn't even know? You didn't wake yourself up and said, it's time to breathe now. When you sleep like I do, you go into a coma. And only God can keep you breathing through that. I woke up this morning still breathing. I got a good family. Got a good church. God has been good to me. And I'm going to tell you, God says you need to see my goodness before I can show you just a smidgen of the glory. Hallelujah. You ain't in hell this morning, are you? You ain't a drunk this morning, are you? You're not on a bar stool this morning. I mean, I'm in a church, toting a King James Bible under my arm. How good can it get? of God. My goodness. Moses said, I need some. God said, well, I'm going to show you my goodness. Moses said, oh, you sure have been good, haven't you?
Yeah.
Boy, we was up on that Red Sea and I didn't know what we was going to do. Man, I looked behind me. Man, the army was coming. Them mountains was on both. The mountains of Paran was on the right and on the left. I couldn't turn around and go backward. I couldn't turn to the right, couldn't turn to the left, and the Red Sea is in front of me. I was toast. But God says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And Moses raised that rod up. Hallelujah. Moses is like, he sure is good, isn't he? Let's walk. Hallelujah. And Moses got to thinking about all the goodness of God. And I'm going to tell you, sometime we just need to see the goodness of God. Just think about how good He's been to you. My friend, if you say, preacher, I don't know what you're talking about, you need to tell. I tell you what, we'll give you the Sunday night off. You don't have to come here tonight for service. You take a little trip to Memphis. And you go down to that VA hospital. And you go down there. Thank God for veterans. Thank the Lord for our veterans. Go down there to LeBron and that children's home. Just take the Sunday night off. We'll give it to you off. Take the Sunday night off and just take a trip down there. And you'll come back saying, God is good in my life. He's been good to me. He's been good to my family. He's been good to me at church. He's been good to me on a job. Hallelujah. Moses. God says this, Moses, look, I got to hurry. Watch this. Moses, we got a problem. We got a problem. I can't let you see my face and live. But what I can do, like I said, I'll put you in a cleft up there. Put my hand over it like this. And I'm just going to walk by. And by the time I get outside, I'm going to pull my hand off. And you'll catch a glimpse. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Hey, now watch. You say, why couldn't he see the whole, just God show the whole glory? Let me tell you what happened. God says in the burning bush, He said, I am that I am. Y'all remember? Watch. Right, stay with me now. Watch. Them Roman soldiers coming after Jesus, guarding the Gethsemane. They said, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said, I am.
Yeah.
You know what they did? They fell backward to the ground. When He said, I am, He just gave them just the hair. In other words, letting them know, if I said, I am that I am, all you fellas be dead right now. So just take it that I am He and fall down and I'll go with you peaceably. But just so you know, I'm going willingly, you ain't taking me. Because if I show my whole glory, wipe the whole earth out. Y'all with me? So that's why God, Moses is like, I want to see it all. I want to see it all. God says, we got a problem. Can't let you see it all. I can just let you see a smidgen. Now, how many of y'all have ever had your picture taken? I've had two weddings this weekend. And everybody's a flashing and a carrying on. How many of y'all have ever flashed a camera and that light and you go, and the cameraman goes, I've got to take it again. You blinked. You really didn't see the light. Light travels at 186,000 miles a second. You really didn't see. You saw the tail end of it. And when you close your eyes, y'all with me? When you close your eyes, you can still see the flash. And the flash has done been come and gone. You close your eyes and you... What if that flash would stay on all the time? What if they got red in that flash and you get all of it? It blinds you silly. So this is what God does. Puts Moses in the cleft, puts His hand over there, and flashes the camera. Moses went, oh, whoo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. Moses closed his eyes and I can still see it. You say, oh, that wasn't nothing. That wasn't enough to do nothing. It turned Moses' life around. It was enough to turn his life around. Next chapter, we ain't got time to read it because it's almost 12. I got just a few minutes before y'all close up on me. Watch this one. Next chapter. Moses comes off that mountain. And them people said, "Where you been? Your countenance," said Moses, "we can't." They had to put, Daddy, is that right? They had to put a veil over Moses' face just so he could walk around with the people with just a smidgen. If just a smidgen did that, and he had to come around, Moses had to walk around the rest of, I don't know how long, with a veil over him, because the people's like, "Man, Moses, tone that thing down. Good gracious." Y'all remember Charleston Heston? He come on there. He was brown-headed or what? He come off that mountain. He's gray-headed. And then people said, "Man, you got to put a veil on Moses. We can't." Watch this. Do you ever do that to anybody when they're around you? Can I testify on a Sunday morning with a crowd of people here? There's people in this church, if I hang around them too long, I get into convictions. They witness to everybody they see. They pass the track out to everybody that walks. They'll pass the track out to that tree right there. And witness to everybody in the room and people they know, people they don't know. I mean, they go above and beyond. They do things. They get to talk about the goodness of the Lord. I get under conviction. I'm like, "Man, God, good gracious, put a veil on that thing." Help me now. Now, y'all ain't the only backslid one in here. But there's people that you hang around, maybe not even here, but in other places. Man, all they can do. And you're thinking, it is all they can talk about is the Lord? You know why? They've been blipped. They done seen just a smidgen of the glory. They done been in the presence. You ever been around folks like that? You can tell the difference when a preacher preaches if he's been in the cliffs of the rock or not. You can tell the difference. The countenance. Now, and look, so I ain't talking about all that. You walk in, you got a little halo around your head. Had a lady tell me one time, said, "Preacher, I just don't know. How am I going to get all that robe and all that stuff over my halo and all my crowns?" I said, "Ma'am, you need to be more worried about how you're going to get all the robe on over them horns growing out the top of your head." I got to hurry. Watch this. Moses has been blipped. And every time he closes his eyes, he sees a glimpse. Just that flash of the camera. He sees that tail end. The tail end of that kite. He didn't see the whole kite. He just saw that tail end of it. When lightning flashes outside, y'all ain't never seen lightning. You just think you have. You're seeing the tail end of it. You ever seen that lightning where it lightens and it's still an outline of it in the sky and the lightning's done come and gone? That's what God said. He said, "That's about all I can give you. That's about all you can stand." You say, "Preacher, that's enough. It's enough for now. If I can just see just that, if I can get in that place that's beside him and get in that cleft of the rock and every now and then get in that book and him show himself to me just a little bit, it'll do till I get home." I got to close. I've had people ask me, said, "Wonder how Moses died." I got to think about that. I heard several preachers preach on it. Mays Jackson said, "This is the way he died. The Holy Ghost smothered him with Holy Ghost kisses." Y'all with me? I'm closing. Watch, I'm closing. At the end of Moses' life, God says, "Come up here on Mount Nebo and talk to you a minute." God says, "Moses, you know what? Your life is, I mean, everything is done. You've done everything you're supposed to do." Hey, Moses wasn't in bad health. The Bible says natural forces wasn't invaded. He was in perfect health. Perfect health. And God says, "Come on up here, Mount Nebo. I want to talk to you a minute." Amen. You remember a long time ago?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You asked to see the whole glory. You remember that? And I couldn't do it at the particular time. He says, well, Moses, it's your time to die anyway. Do you like to see it now? We up here by ourselves. Ain't nobody looking. It's a private funeral. Huh? Moses like this. Moses like this. And God just did like this. This is a veil. The veil. Because this is the only way we can manage. Live on this earth. God just did like this. God just pulled the veil up. And Moses went deader than a hammer. You're going to die anyway. God's like, I'm going to show it to y'all. Y'all ever been in a room before? Somebody's saved. They're in the room and they're dying. And all of a sudden, they see things that's not in the room. This is what they're doing to your loved one. God's going, well, it's time for you to die. Let me just show you. And you're there. Say, preacher, how do you know? What I'm telling you. Them seraphims, Isaiah 6, seraphims, well, they got six wings. Two they fly with, two they cover their feet, and the other two they cover their... Why? They can't even stand it all. Watch this. One of these days, you and I are going to get to see what them angels have never seen. You'll get to see the full glory of God. Why? The only way you can do it is in a glorified body, and that's why He changes it. Fashioned like unto His glorious body. One of these days, you get ready to die. God's just going, you've got a veil on your face already. You don't know it, but that's the only way we can. A while ago, when it was getting so good in here, that's all we can stand. One of these days, y'all just drop the veil. You'll get to see what Moses wanted to see. And you got to see. You say, preacher, I want to see it all. Hey, I tell you what. Just a little bit of His glory will do till I get home. Amen. What's the song say, Mark? Until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city. Until the day God calls me home. Just a glimpse will do me till I get home. Some of you be thinking, boy, listen, I'm going to tell you. I feel like singing now, Mark. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret. You don't believe that? Ask Moses. He said, that ain't no secret. What God can do. Heavenly Father.